Welcome to the Momco Leader Podcast. We believe that life and leadership are better in community. We're here to equip and encourage you as a leader and mom. We'll talk about real issues and practical tools to help you grow in your leadership, motherhood, and faith. Hey, everybody, I'm Sherry Crandall, and I'm here with my amazing co-hosts, Jen Iverson and Andrea Fortenberry. And we are continuing our series, the discussion series, where we take our discussion questions from the Say Yes meeting plans. And I'm just so excited about these conversations. Welcome back, guys. It's so good to see you.
It's good to be here.
That's awesome. You know, we say each time that we've done this, I'm kind of surprised at like how quickly and how deep the discussions are. And I think that's one of my favorite things to know, that these discussions are happening around the world, you know, maybe sometimes around a tree, on the ground, around a table, somewhere in a whole nother different country, and right down the street from where you are. And what a beautiful way that we can enter into these communities and create a deeper connection. I'm excited about that.
We hear so often from our leaders and moms that what they really love most about their group is the conversation that happens. And sometimes we will also hear like, oh, we wish there was more time for conversation. So for our coordinators and our leaders, just a little note to make sure you leave time in your meetings for the conversation to happen, because really that's where the magic is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, should we dig in, guys?
Let's do it.
So the questions we're going to talk about today come from this really great video, and it is Mother from Your Worth. So let's just think about that title for a second, Mother from Your Worth. So you have to believe that you're worthy. And I think oftentimes, I don't know about you guys, but when I became a mom, I kind of took a hit in my worth department. And I think it's just because they hand you this precious little child and you're like, oh, I don't know what to do with you. I love you, but I'm not sure I know what to do with you. Was that just me, or did you guys do that too?
100%.
Yeah, I think I didn't know. I thought I knew a lot. And then I became a mom. And like Tori says in the video, like suddenly I knew nothing. Like I didn't know what I was doing. And so when you talk about mothering from your worth, it took that hit of, oh, maybe I'm not worthy to be a mother because I don't know what I'm doing. And so it was a big transition.
Yeah. I think most of our audience could relate to that. And especially if you're a new mom, guess what? You aren't supposed to be prepared for all of it. That's not how it works. It's like with anything, you start from scratch and then you develop it over time, right? So our first question today, I'm going to start with Andrea. There's this expectation, I think, that maybe we have about mothering that is completely different from reality. What was yours, Andrea?
Oh, I had lots of them looking back. But I think one of them was that it would be easy and it would be fun all the time. And I just had these visions in my head of doing crafts with my kids and baking with them, and that they would be calm and compliant and put their shoes on the first time I asked. And I didn't, I joke sometimes that I didn't factor in that my kids would also have a combination of my husband's personality, right? Like I thought that because they were my kids, they would be calm and compliant like I was as a child. But I think that's the expectation that I was surprised by, that, oh, these are their own unique little people with their own personalities. Again, a blend of me and my husband, but also who God made them to be. And so I struggled with my daughter. She was strong-willed as a 2-3-year-old. And so I really struggled with, what am I doing wrong? Because she's acting like a typical 2- and 3-year-old, but I just struggled with, what am I doing wrong? Why is this not meeting the expectation that I had that all would just all go smoothly all the time?
Yeah, that's a good one for sure. How about you, Jennifer?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think it's fun that we don't talk about these questions ahead of time and we come in our, with our answers, because mine is very similar. When I boil it down to the expectation, I truly believed that if I parented correctly, whatever that is, that my kids would be well behaved. And so, I too had strong-willed children. And immediately thought, oh, wait, I must be doing something wrong because they're not these well-behaved kids.
Yeah, and let's put in that in quotation marks, like well behaved. Like, what does that actually mean? Because I'll piggyback on, I think I had unrealistic expectations of what well behaved children meant. And so, as you alluded to, they were actually behaving like a normal 2 and 3 year old. And that for me is where my MomCo community was amazing because I sat at the table and I thought I was really alone in my child falling apart. In the store. And I came home one day thinking, actually, my kids are really well behaved. when you see other people. But the expectation I think that I struggled with the most, and maybe perhaps still do, I thought if I reasoned with them, that they would totally understand my reasoning and come around to either being compliant. Or as they got to be teenagers, that then we wouldn't have issues because you would understand my reasoning of why I set this boundary. And I wish y'all could see because both of my co-hosts are laughing hysterically. You can't see our faces.
So
Right? But I had this expectation like I could convince you that this is the right way to behave or the right thing to do, or you would never do this because I convinced you. And the reasoning piece just blew me away that, that I can't remember what the exact age is, but you don't even have the ability in your brain. It's not even wired yet to even have reasoning. So my husband would say, you're reasoning with a toddler. That's like insane. Like, what are you trying? That's not going to work. And I was like, oh, I'm a good reasoner. Just wait. Like I just knew I could make it happen. So
I
that
have
toddler,
skills, she
yeah.
says.
I got mad reasoning skills and I don't.
Well, and I found that when I tried reasoning, then it would turn into negotiating, and they were trying to give me their reasoning on even being little, like why they didn't want to go along with it, or could I give them more time to do
Yeah.
whatever activity? And so it, yeah, I feel you on that, Sherry.
And honestly, I think my kids think they have mad reasoning skills. So now you've got like all of that going on and nobody's really listening. So that was my thought versus complete reality. That was not the reality check I got very quickly. And having 4 children, that was, confirmed over and over. Okay, next question. Jen, let's start with you. Is there an area of your life in which you feel you're working from insecurity rather than from your worth?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to continue with the same thread and say that I've kind of had this come to Jesus moment in the last, probably the last 6 months, that even though my kids are currently 17 to 27, so we're talking to you from a place of we've survived the toddler years, we've survived most of the teenage years. That's where I'm coming from. And their brains aren't fully developed until like mid-20s. I mean, that is a long time. But I think I still had in my brain that successful kids meant I had done my job well, and that my worth was based on how well I had raised these children. And I have amazing kids. I mean, but there was still this sense of, oh, are they making the right decision? Are they doing this in the right timing? Did I equip them with everything that they needed? And if they made a decision that wasn't quite right, or I have one child who truly believes that instead of living with your clothes clean and in a dresser so that they're available for you to wear, you should live with them in a dirty clothes pile in the corner of a room. And if you need something the next day, you can wash it at midnight so that it's ready for you. And like, I don't, again, there are no reasoning skills in that decision making, right? But as a parent, I thought that was reflective on me not training him to be prepared and have the right habits. And to me, I was taking it as this is a failure in how I've raised him, that this is his, that he's choosing this. And so there's some sadness to me that that is still something I struggle with. And yet it is pointing me closer to God and realizing that I also view the love that I get from God, the worth that I get from God, based on my behavior, performance, choices, all of those kinds of things. I told you, I was going deep today.
Well, I think these questions lend themselves to do that. And, I think you mentioned this laundry situation, and you're such an organizer. So that's, in the big picture of life, a benign issue. But let's take it a step further. What if your child isn't just doing laundry, not according to your standards, but has made a life decision or is involved in something that's really difficult? And how they're each different, right? So there was a time in our life where we had two of our kids at different high schools, and one was really struggling, didn't love school, and had a little bit of a truant issue. Let's just say it that way. And
Nice.
we went to parent conference, and this one teacher just laid into us about how, we weren't parenting well, and, why wasn't he coming to class and returning in his homework, and he's so smart. You need to get a grip on this, and you should do this, and you should do that. And the only teacher that had something positive to say was the art teacher. And they went on to tell us most amazing child I've ever had in my class. But we left that school feeling like we truly were the worst. And we took that on. We drove down the street 5 minutes away, sat down for the next child. And I kid you not, the very words right away out of this teacher's mouth, we always know when the kids have great parents, you all should teach parenting classes. Well, my husband kicked me under the table, literally. And we got back in the car, and it was such an eye opener to me because one lady said we were horrible people, that we needed parenting classes. The next person was like, "You guys are the most amazing parents I've ever met. You should teach parenting classes," all based on the behavior that you really didn't have control over. So at that night, I remember saying this, and it has stuck with me. I am not going to take all the blame for someone's bad choice. Doesn't mean I'm a bad parent. So then you hop on this insecurity thing of I'm horrible. But then if I agree to do that, then I can't hop on the train where I take all the credit when someone's doing something amazing because they put the effort into doing that. We're setting guidelines and boundaries, and we're very flawed people as parents, which means, our kids are human too. So I think I've worked really hard to not operate from the insecurity that came with people challenging you or actually not being nice to you about it, but then not taking this inflated, of myself when my kids did something amazing. So.
Yeah, 100%. It's something you don't have control over. And I think what's fascinating is I can say my children, God has given them free will to decide on things. Like I can do my parenting, but they get to make decisions. I mean, really, at a young age, you think, I can tell you. You need to put your dishes in the sink, but you have a choice of whether you want to obey or not obey and do that. And so it's interesting that we can maybe say truth, but until we actually internalize that and say, this, my worth is not based on these things, we're still working from our insecurities rather than from working from our worth.
Andrea, is there an area, these are tough questions. I realize that, but is there an area that you have that you feel like, man, I operate out of that insecure spot instead of where you are feeling worthy?
I think for me in this season, I think it sometimes is stemming from insecurity, which is also related to scarcity, right? Like sometimes in a busy season, we feel just so stretched. I don't have enough time. I didn't get enough sleep. I have too much to do. And so I have tried to catch myself when I'm in that feeling like I don't have enough to give, or there's not enough of me to go around. I don't have enough hands, right? Like as a mom, I think in every season we can feel that a little bit. And so for me in this season, instead of when I wake up and think, oh, I didn't get enough sleep, or I don't have enough time, or feeling anxious or overwhelmed, I'm trying to remember that our God is a God of abundance, and He can multiply our time. He can multiply our impact based on the time that we have when we are seeking Him and doing what He's called us to do. And sometimes that means we do look at our schedule or our commitments and say, you know, I don't feel like God is calling me to something. I can say no, which I have a really hard time with sometimes, but we can say no to certain things and then again live focused on what God has called us to do. And I find I like to call that the sweet spot when we are in the sweet spot, even if we have so much to do and so much that is going on in our lives, whether that's family, leading our momco meetup, work, school, whatever that looks like for us, we can be in that sweet spot of feeling like we have so much to do, but it's purposeful because we know that God has called us to do that. And when we remember again that God has good plans for us, that He planned for us long ago and good works for us to do, and when we just remember that God has His hand on our life in this time, in this season, that really can remind us and helps me to live out of my worth instead of living out of insecurity or feeling scarce, like my life is scarce, that there's not enough.
Oh, that's really good. God is a God of abundance and love, and I think it is up to us though to dial in and pay attention to that. You said the word sweet spot, and you know when you're in your sweet spot because there have been times where I'm like, work is out of control. The mom goes crazy. However, it's so invigorating. It's so great that by the end of the day, even though you're tired, you feel like, oh, this is amazing. But I've also taken on additional things that maybe I shouldn't have. And when you're not in your sweet spot, not only do you suffer, but I think your family does too. And so just being mindful, ladies, I think a lot of us have a hard time saying no, but oftentimes it's really the word that we need to use so that we can operate out of our sweet spot. So thanks for reminding us of that. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. What about you, Sherry?
Well, I think my insecurity is more, have I done enough? Am I doing enough? Like, am I available enough for my kids? And then you start to go, oh, maybe if I would have done this differently, then this wouldn't be the scenario that we found ourselves in or find ourselves in. And oftentimes I think it's really good. My husband and I were joking. You're like, okay, to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame, there's a lot of error involved in that. And people make a lot of error and still are considered Hall of Famers. And so to know that you will make lots of errors, but also be good to yourself and think about the good things that you did. And it's a little bit easier when you have some hindsight. As Jennifer mentioned, my kids are a little bit older. And I can look back and go, we did that really well. Like this certain thing, like, man, I think we nailed that. And then there's other things I'm like, eh, not so much. But focus them on like the good things that you feel you nailed are what's creating healthy relationships now. And you will make lots of mistakes along the way. But you can still get to the Hall of Fame. And I think the Hall of Fame means healthy relationships with your children as they're older. And there's grace involved. So I'm working on that, not working on, tripping myself up on like, oh, I wish I would have done that better. But recognizing like, you know what? I think we kind of did that great. So.
I think we are just so hardwired. We just have this natural tendency to focus on the negative, right? The things that we didn't do right, the things on our to-do list we didn't get done at the end of the day. But if we flip it, it can be really powerful to think about, oh, what did I get right? And then that helps us live from our worth, knowing God has gifted me in these areas and I want to lean in on those and focus on those. Or again, with our to-do list, oh, what did I get done today? Even though there are some things that were still undone. And let's be celebratory of the things we did do, but we just so often focus on the negative.
Okay, I'm going to assign some homework to our audience. I want you to think about this. Like, I don't know what time you're going to be listening to this. It could be early morning, it could be super late, but sometime within the next 24 hours, would you guys do me a favor? And I want you just to not think about all the things that you feel insecure about or that you feel like you've done wrong or are doing wrong, but be really sweet to yourself. And I want you to write down three things that you bring to your family that are going really well, that are amazing, that you can go, you know what? I nail this. I'm really good at this, whatever that might be. Maybe you're like an amazing cook and you create healthy meals for your family, or you have the best carpool because you're so much fun, or like whatever that is, give yourself some credit, write it down, because next week you're gonna have a moment where you're like, I just stink. I'm terrible. And I want you to like look at that and remind yourself that, you know what? We make mistakes, but man, I'm good at this. So that's your homework. Write those things down. Three things.
I think that's great. I think it's also good to remember that when we feel the conviction of something that we didn't do great, like I yelled at my kid the other day or something, and that wasn't the best reaction that I had, that even in what we might consider a failure, we are setting an example for our kids that parenthood is not about being a perfect parent. And I can apologize to my child for that. And the lesson that they get to see in that is one, mom knows how to recognize when maybe she didn't do something right. Two, mom knows how to apologize. And I'm not setting that child up for the belief that they should never do anything wrong when they're a parent. And so I think even in our feelings of failure, it is a parenting moment.
Yeah. And oftentimes we're more quick to give others grace than give ourselves grace. And so this is a great way to model that, is to show your kids that, they listen to how you talk about yourself, especially women, as talking about their bodies, or what they don't do right, the insecurities. When we say those out loud, it makes, especially not only our girls, it affects our boys too, but it really affects our girls when we're so negative about ourselves. So we're modeling grace and we're modeling self-worth by the way that we talk about ourselves. So, and the ability to apologize and all of those things are super important. It's a great thought, Jen. Thanks. Thank you for listening in today, but you know what? We're only halfway through with this great conversation. Make sure that you come back and join us next week as we continue talking about mothering from your worth.